Thank you, Becky, for leading the charge on this. We're so grateful for bringing music and kids into our sanctuary. So let us listen well to the children and be open to how God speaks to us through them. So welcome again to worship. You're in the presence of God. May God be praised as we sing and hear the word of God this morning. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you that you are the defender of the weak, because, oh Lord our God, sometimes we feel so weak we don't know where to turn. We thank you, Lord, that you do indeed lift us up on wings like eagles. Thank you that we can soar because of your Holy Spirit, not flap, but soar because you lift us up. Lord, thank you that you have called us to be your people and to lean into you. Thank you that when things are going more, when we have difficult circumstances in our lives, we can know that you're at work and lean into you more. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your steadfast love, your unending mercy. Lord, thank you that your compassion goes beyond any human compassion. Thank you for giving your life for us. Thank you for the communion table that's here today that reminds us of that fact. Thank you, Lord, for the children here, for out of the mouth of children you have shown perfect praise. Thank you that we can worship in freedom and gather here together. Thank you that we have the opportunity to praise you this morning because you inhabit the praises of your people. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. And Lord, we ask that you would have mercy upon us in our weakness. We pray that you would come to us as a congregation and heal all who need healing today. That you would lift the burdens of all who are burdened down today, O Lord. We pray that you would be with all who bring personal needs that they may even be too afraid to tell you about. But Lord, you see our hearts. You know what is on our minds this morning. Thank you for that. Lord, may we open up to you and honestly tell you what we need so that you can answer us and so that our faith can be restored. Lord, may we have patience. May we abound in the fruit of the Spirit. May we know that no matter what happens to us, nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from your great love. And so with confidence in that fact, knowing that you are more willing to answer than we are even to ask, we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Jericho. Just a minute. Technical difficulties. It's okay. Settle down. Settle down. It does not have to be like Jenga.
So while they're getting their set ready, just let me point out that we had 4 days of class. And I'm really proud of everything that they've accomplished because, for instance, on ukulele, learning how to play two chords is a challenge depending on your age. It's a bigger challenge or a smaller challenge. And they, most of them have that. Some of them are ready to learn five more. And in the art class, they only had 4 days to think of it. And Monica does a wonderful job of directing them and giving them a way to go. And in drama, it's a little tricky to get the whole, I'll get all the lines learned and everything together, but I think you'll enjoy it, and I've left something out. Stuart did a marvelous job of finding some rhythms and teaching them, getting them started. So anyway, I'm just really proud of them, and I think our drama team is ready.
Are you ready for another story?
Oh, yes. What is this one about?
It's about two brave men who didn't go along with the crowd. Remember how Moses led the people out of Israel, out of Egypt?
I remember they finally escaped when that wicked old King Pharaoh drowned in the Red Sea.
Right. Well, that long journey toward the promised land had a lot of twists and turns and delays and disasters. But Moses and the Israelites finally reached a place just on the border between the desert and Canaan. The people were so happy. They would have their very own home at last, and it would be a wonderful place to live. But first, they had to find out about the people living there. So Moses appointed 12 men, one from each tribe, to spy out the land. Two of the men were Joshua and Caleb. So listen to the instructions Moses gave.
Are the people tall or are they very small? Strong or weak? Arrogant or meek? How about the land? Is it all sand? Crops grow? Vineyards grow on row? Climb a wall. Make sure you do not fall. Look around. Make sure you are not found.
The spies were gone for 40 days. When they returned, the people were eager to hear what they had to say. But people don't always agree, and in this case, there was a decided difference of opinion. Joshua and Caleb knew what it meant to trust, but they were a minority of two.
Crops are growing, streams are flowing, vineyards row on row.
Don't go near them. We must fear them. You should see their height. It's our fear that we appear like insects in their sight.
We can take them. God will make them fall before his might.
He will give us. Vic would be so wrong. We are smaller, they are taller, giants fierce and strong.
Strong. Stop your weeping and start reaping blessings through the years.
If we fight them, our true plight will be a tragic tale. Then we'll quake and weep and shake, but all to no avail.
Did you hear them? They said as big as giants.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, what terrible news.
Do not be afraid. The Lord is with us.
If only we had died.
If only we had died in Egypt. Why has the Lord brought us here just to fall by the sword?
Wouldn't it be better?
Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?
No, it's not rebel against the Lord. God is able to help us.
Remember when he saved us from the Egyptians? Do you think he's unable to do now what he did then?
Let's pick a new leader and go back to Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, we must.
Yes, we must.
We have no choice.
Back to Egypt.
How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the marvelous things I have performed among them? As surely as I live, I'll do the very things I heard you say. In this desert, your bodies will fall, and every one of you 20 years or more who has grumbled against me. None of you will enter the land except Caleb and Joshua, but I'll bring your children in to enjoy the land you have rejected.
So after coming to the promised land, to the border of the promised land, the Israelites had to turn back. The people who were slaves in Egypt were still slaves in spirit.
We could have had the land.
We could have had the land that our Lord promised, but we couldn't see beyond our foolish fears.
Now we will see from a distance. And wander
in this desert for 40 years.
We could have had it all. We could have had it all for the taking. If only we had trusted in God's word.
We could have had it all.
could have had the land of milk.
We could have the land of milk and honey. We could have known the blessing of the Lord. We
should have known his strength.
We should have known strength could conquer weakness.
If only we had trusted.
If only we had trusted in his word.
We could have had it all. We could have had it all for the taking if only we had trusted in God's word.
Why couldn't they trust? Why couldn't they believe? That part of the story makes me feel sad. It is sad, but God still loved them and cared for them all the time they wandered in the desert. But finally, the 40 years came to an end. The older people had died, and the next generation was ready to cross the Jordan River and enter the promised land. Joshua was now the leader. After crossing the Jordan River, the Israelites prepared to capture some of the fortified cities of Canaan. One of these was Jericho. God told Joshua exactly how to go about it.
March around the city once for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets. On the 7th day, march around 7 times. When the trumpets blow, everyone shout.
You're marching 1, 2.
We are marching, for the Lord is our strength.
We are marching, for the Lord is our strength.
What do you think of those instructions?
Strange, very strange. But if God said to do it, I hope those people learned their lesson and obeyed this time.
I'm happy to say that they did.
1, 2, ready.
Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down.
Once again, the Israelites had seen that God is the one who would fight their battles for them. Joshua fought many more battles and was a courageous and fearless leader. He never forgot whose side he was standing on. He wanted to make sure the people never forgot either. This is the challenge he gave them.
Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Whose side are you standing on?
The Lord's side.
Whose side are you standing on?
Thank you so much, children, for singing that wonderful song about trusting Jesus. Because sometimes I have a hard time trusting God. Like if I pray for something and it doesn't happen right away, I start to think, God, are you really there? Because sometimes God does things that I don't understand, and I think, oh, God's a little out of his mind. He doesn't know what's going on. Like, who would have thought that the answer to Jericho was to march around the wall all those times and shout? Who would have thought that the bricks would come down? I wouldn't have planned it that way. And I was thinking about the word mad camp. And it means music, art, and drama. But I was wondering if Jesus was mad. Now, he didn't go to music, art, and drama camp. You know, Jesus didn't have a little blue T-shirt and wear it, right? I don't think. I mean, the Bible doesn't say he did. He could have, but I don't think he did. But did you know that a lot of people told Jesus, you're mad? You're mad. Mad means another thing. It means out of your mind. A lot of people thought that Jesus was out of his mind because they thought he didn't know what was going on. Just like sometimes I don't know what God is doing. I think, God, you don't understand. You're out of your mind. But listen to this, what happened to Jesus. Mark 3:20-22 says, then he went home, that's Jesus, then he went home, and the crowds gathered again, because Jesus had been healing all these people, the crowds gathered again, so that they could not even eat. Jesus and his disciples were so popular, there's so many people saying, please heal me, please help me, they couldn't even eat. But when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is mad. He's out of his mind, in other words, right? Now, actually understand this a little bit if I look at it from an objective point of view, because Jesus did things that were not normal or expected. He did things that made people scratch their heads, kind of like when I pray and I don't get an answer. I think, what are you doing, God? I'm scratching my head. And he did things that made people confused. He did things that made no sense. Look at this statement. See if you think this is a little odd. It says in John 11, 5-6, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Jesus! You're mad. You're out of your mind. Why wouldn't you run to your friend and heal your friend? Why wouldn't you do that? He stayed 2 days longer than the place where he was. Well, sometimes I don't understand what God is up to, but I'm not God. Or take this incident, okay? Jesus has been in the hills praying. He liked to go to the hills to pray. And the crowd, he'd ministered the night before. They didn't know where he went because Jesus had been healing this crowd. And then he goes to the hills to pray. This crowd that he'd helped the night before were all looking for him, and the disciples were looking for Jesus too. Finally, they find Jesus in the hills, and they say, Jesus, that crowd that you helped the night before, they're all looking for you. And it says Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, everyone's searching for you. He answered, let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do. He didn't go to the crowds that needed him. He went on. He went to different towns. Maybe he was mad, or maybe just not a compassionate person. Except we kind of think that Jesus was a compassionate person. Why wouldn't he help those that needed him, that were looking for him? Why would you leave and go somewhere else when people are saying, please come and help? And maybe Jesus was un-Christian. Maybe he wasn't helping the needy. He was turning his back on those who called out to him. We don't often think of Jesus in this way. It is very important for us to understand something when we think about our own lives in the context of how Jesus lived his life. There's a difference, friends, please hear this, between being moral and being spiritual. And I think sometimes in churches we think we need to be moral people only, and we stop there. There's nothing wrong with being moral. I know people hear weird things when I preach and they go out the door and they say, how could you say that? There's nothing wrong with being moral. And by moral, what I mean is socially responsible, you know, compassionate, humanitarian, doing what we might call the right thing. But the church, the people of God, folks, are called way beyond that. Because if we are just moral people, we do whatever needs to be done for the good of all. We respond constantly to human needs and concerns that arise in the moment. We are on the alert for how to do the next good thing. In fact, it's very popular today to do good things for people, right? I mean, all kinds of companies are doing good things for people. And they, like Starbucks, touts the fact that they help those in need, right? And Ronald McDonald House, and McDonald's is saying, we help this wonderful house. But actually only less than 1% of their revenue goes to it, but don't be fooled by that. But if everyone is helping everyone nowadays, why do we need the church? What's the point? We're all being compassionate. It's kind of popular right now to be compassionate and kind. Why do we need the church? We've got food drives from community centers and backpack drives, and we have goodwill. What do we need the church for? What purpose does it serve? I will tell you. Are you listening to me still? Are you there? Okay. Jesus was not simply moral. He was not just simply a humanitarian. Jesus was first and foremost spiritual. He did not answer first to people and their needs. Jesus answered to God first. And sometimes when you do that, people that might say to you, you're mad, you're out of your mind, even if you didn't go to mad camp. The church is not simply a moral place, a place that does good stuff for people. It's not just another goodwill. The church, as God intended it to be, is a spiritual place. And by that I mean that as the body of Christ, we have a higher calling than simply just doing the next good thing as we or our culture might define it. Because that can lead to burnout, right? There's so much need everywhere. We will exhaust ourselves trying to be moral as we are pulled in 1,000 different directions. Our calling as the church is the highest of callings. It is to listen to the voice of God and follow Him first, beyond the clamor of the crowds, beyond the cultural thing of the time, beyond what might seem right and proper and humanitarian. And I'm not saying that God is not a humanitarian, that God doesn't care about people. The whole point of the Christian gospel is that God cares intimately and passionately for people. However, God's ways of touching people's lives are sometimes very different than our ways. What we might think is the next good thing to do, is not what God intends. That's why we just can't be moral. Are you with me? Do you hear me? We have to be spiritual. We have to do what God is calling us to do first. We need to listen to Him, not just what might seem to be the next good thing in our own eyes. We need to stay attuned to the Lord. So what happened when Jesus didn't go to Lazarus? When he was sick, he let him die. It looked like he didn't care. But he cared more than you can imagine. Jesus wanted to do something so much bigger than simply healing Lazarus. That was the moral thing, right? He wanted to raise him from the dead as a foreshadowing to the people of his own resurrection. As a statement that, hey, friends, death is not the end. I got this. As a declaration of God's triumph over death, the enemy of us all. It looked anti-humanitarian, didn't it? It looked like it was not a moral, compassionate decision when in reality it actually was, but done very differently than just rushing to the scene of the need in the moment. Jesus was spiritual first. He was listening to God and responding to that. Or if you take the situation with the crowds that I shared before, Jesus had been praying in the hills. God was calling Jesus to spread the gospel to as many people as possible. God was not calling Jesus back to the crowds that he just helped. God was telling Jesus, go to as many people as you can and spread the good news. Jesus was spiritual first. He was listening to God and responding to that. And we must not, as the people of God, the church, just rush around crazily and do the next good thing in our own eyes. Our job as the Church of Jesus Christ is to listen to the Holy Spirit, discerning God's will first, and then act upon that even if it seems mad. Now, I know that my leaving West Valley, this church, next Sunday is my last Sunday, may seem a bit weird, but I've never been so sure of anything in my life. My season here is over, and I'm convinced that West Valley has a bright future ahead, as you've seen this morning. I just want you to know that if I hadn't been in prayer about this, I would just stay here. It's comfortable. It's secure. I know all of you. I love all of you. You're great. You're a great church. However, the calling is clear to me, and I must follow that. And for your own lives and for the life of this church, I beg of you to seek God's will first. Listen to the Holy Spirit's leading before burning yourself out on good deeds. Listen. Because when God does it, when God does it his way through you, that might seem mad or crazy in the moment, God's power is unleashed, and what is impossible on a good works human effort alone happens because the power of the Holy Spirit is then unleashed to do what only God can do in human lives. All powerful God working through you when you are spiritual first and you're in touch with Him. So as we approach the table today, it was a mad decision to go to the cross. It didn't make any sense. Jesus does what doesn't make any sense. He willingly submits to the cross to be executed. All-powerful God in human form submits himself to human power and goes to the cross, the worst form of torture anybody could experience. But Jesus was spiritual first, not simply moral. Because if he had just been moral, what would he have done? He probably would have maybe done a little escape. It wouldn't have been too hard since he walked right into death. And taught a bunch more lessons. And then we'd have a thicker New Testament, wouldn't we? Because Jesus would have done more and helped more people, right? So that's the moral choice. I think I'll just do this because I can help more people. Makes sense from a moral perspective. But Jesus was what? Are you with me? Spiritual first, right? Spiritual first. And knew that God was calling him to the cross, even though he prayed in agony. No, no, please, not the cross. It's sometimes much harder to be spiritual than simply to be moral. Because the world says you are mad, and we have to follow God anyway. The truth is God was doing so much more on the cross than anyone had any idea. And because of the cross, millions, millions of folks have come to God, experienced forgiveness, and found peace and purpose through Jesus Christ. Friends, as we take communion today, let's endeavor to listen first to the Lord. Let's take communion as spiritual people, ready to be spiritual children, following God's calling first, even if it seems mad. Let us pray together. Lord God, thank you for your amazing gift to us in Jesus Christ. And as the children sang this morning, help us to trust you more, even when we don't understand. Lord, because your ways are not our ways, your thoughts are not our thoughts. When we think that you are not there, help us to remember that. And help us to remember that we can fully trust you, for you are faithful. So as we take communion today, I pray that you would set apart these elements from a common to a sacred use. Help us to listen to you as we partake, O Lord. And may we seek your will first, not our own. May we be spiritual people. And find out that it's through that that allows your power to work in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Eat this as often as you would in remembrance of me." In the same way, after he supped, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant, or the new agreement, in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink ye all of it. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you remember my death until I come again." So ministering to you in Christ's name, we give you the bread and the cup. Everyone who has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is welcome to participate in this meal this morning. We ask that as you take the bread, you eat it right away as a symbol of your personal relationship, your spiritual connection to God. And when you take the cup, you hold it, and we're going to take it all together at the end as a symbol of our communion together as Christ, as the body of Christ. So friends, these are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Eat and be thankful. And as we partake, listen to that one. This juice is a symbol of Christ's blood shed for us on the cross. So together, let us partake. Amen.
And now peace to all, and love with faith from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ with undying love. And don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. Go in the peace and love of Jesus Christ. Amen.